Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hey, Petty Bitches.
This is Davina Devine. Oh my God, I'm eating a piece of tissue.
I was wondering what was on your face.
I was like, oh my God.
Can I be honest? Gross. I thought it was like, oh my God, does she have a cold sore or something? Does she have a cold sore cream? Either that or else you were just eating a coleslaw sandwich.
Oh no, it was absolutely gross. Well, hello, Petty Bitches. And welcome to Petty Little Things. This is Davina Tissue Divine.
And this is Victoria Judgy Secret. Extra judgy because it's Christmas.
It is our Christmas episode, and this will be our last episode before the nativity, before the big day.
Yeah,
and because of that, H Christ, Jesus Helena Christ,
fully. And Davina has asked me, because it's so close to Christmas, to sing her favorite Christmas song. So here it goes:
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
And that's it. I only know two lines, unfortunately.
My favorite Christmas song is, Oh, come ye merry gentlemen. Anything about gentlemen coming over.
Oh my God. Were you an altar boy?
I was. And I was in the choir, the queer choir.
Why does that not surprise me that you were an altar boy?
No. And I was always in charge of the belts. You know, if you were having the, you know, our belt.
Hold on, wait. Now, when you say belts, are you talking about you were in charge of the priest's accessories?
Yeah, no, the belts that like the altar boys would wear, because you know, like for each kind of festive season, they'd be a different color. Oh. So you'd have like, say on one side, it'd be green. Most of the time it was green. Like that was kind of like all year round. And then around like maybe Easter, it would be like, say on the flip side of the green, it'd be yellow. So maybe around Easter, you turned it to yellow. And around Christmas time, there was a red and a purple belt. So I used to be like, okay, guys, we're wearing the purple belt today.
Which is weird, because you're still like, you're mad about a theme. So you're still very strict on themes.
Yeah, I am very. And it does come from a very Catholic
upbringing. Oh my God. Davina, the queen of the Catholic accessories. Were the belts double-sided? So one side was one color.
Yeah, one side it was like, they're actually kind of fab. One side was like red and one side was purple. And I always used to make sure that I got out early so I'd get like the like clean, fresh smock.
And did you make sure that the other altar boys matched their belts to their earrings, or what was the story with that?
Yeah, and braces, and their nails always had to be like the same, like toes and fingers.
nail check time, everyone.
So I used to love that. And then of course the choir, there was always one altar boy that was, he was kind of shy, and I always just make sure that he'd get the robe that had the Velcro that was good, like on the neck, that was kind of like wearing off.
My God, yes.
And he was always looking for a safety pin. How can I close this? Where's the safety pin? I'm like, I don't know. You have to ask the priest.
I love it. Oh my God. I like, honestly, it's no surprise that you were an altar boy, because like anything you do, you were made to be on the stage regardless.
Yeah.
So I could see you pushing your way to the front and all with the, you weren't allowed to touch the wine or the bread, were you? It's not called bread,
no, we weren't allowed to, but I used to.
little nibble. Do you have a sneaky nibble? Yeah,
of course, because like, say like, if you were doing like, say like, a 9:30 mass, you'd come in early and the priest would be doing like, say the 9:30 mass. So he'd be on stage, like at the pulpit.
I still call it the stage as well.
And they had a press with the wine and I was like, oh, here. So I was only, I'd say about like 9 or 10, uh-huh. But I was, and always, you know, because in like mass, like drinking the wine is like such a thing and eating the bread is a thing. And I was like, oh my God. So I'd always like eat a few little bread rounds before I go on. And then I had to taste the wine and the wine isn't like, it's not red. It's like this weird, like, it's like the color of like a Southern Comfort kind of color. Oh. And yeah. And it's actually gross. It's like, it's actually horrible wine. Like you wouldn't be like having a few glasses of that, you know.
It's not like Kylie wine, let's be real. Jesus wine or Kylie wine, which is it?
No. But yeah, no, I always remember, you know, I always remember about it as well as like, you know, you do the procession or whatever and I would always fall asleep. And I'd be always in this, like, they'd be reading like the gospel or whatever and I would be, not the gospel because you have to, I think, kneel for that. But one of the things when you'd be talking like for a really long spiel.
So you were great at that though, were you?
Oh.
The kneeling.
Got better with age. But you know that feeling of like when you're trying to fight off, it's like when you're in the cinema and you're trying to fight off the sleeping and it's just like, it's like you can't and it's dark and it's all just getting closing in. Oh, so yeah,
I hate that. Like honestly, mass, it, like in general, is hard to stay awake for, but I used to count the words in the pamphlets to stay awake. Like I'd be like, yeah, 1, 2, 3, and if I got to the end of the pamphlet, I'd start all over again.
Well, I tell you this as well, like my mom, I always used to like, you never come to my mom, like never, like my family weren't really religious at all. I don't even know how I got involved in this. Okay. My mom was like, I kept saying, you never come to see me, you know, as if I was in some kind of show, you never come to see me. And she was like, okay, I will. I'll come to mass. I'll come. And she was just like, and I was watching her. I could see her in the crowd and she started falling asleep. I swear to God. She was like this, nodding off. And I was human. Oh, I was watching her and I kept going like this. Like from the top of the church, if you think that was going to wake. But you know when someone coughs, someone else coughs, yeah, and is gone. And that did kind of actually, she kind of woke up then, but I'll never forget it. We still laugh about it like to this day. She's like sitting like up the front falling asleep.
Not anymore. You cough now and 60 people are going to get a test the next day.
That's true. That's true.
Come here, before we get into things, next week is our last, well, not next week, in 2 weeks is our last episode of the year. And
yes,
last year we finished it off by doing Rotter of the Year. So I'm doing a call out. I'm calling out everyone because we want to hear from you. So slide into our Petty Little Things pod DMs, not our personal DMs, the Petty Little Things pod on our Instagram. Mm-hmm. And let us know things you'd like to leave in 2021. Is it a person? Is it a business? Is it a thing? Or is it just something that absolutely drove you insane?
Yeah, we want to know, should old acquaintance be forgot? That's what we really want to know.
Oh, I wish we could.
So, well, we'll get into it now. We'll get into it in the last episode. Do let us know if there's anything that you think, kind of almost like your Rotter of the Year, mixed with something that you would like to forget or leave behind.
So that is going to be our main episode, and we've already planned our Patreon episode, which is basically, it's time to dish the dirt. We have done about 200 virtuals. It is time to get into the nitty gritty, and hopefully we'll be leaving virtuals in 2021. Who knows? Well,
don't jinx us. So stay tuned, that's all to come. Yes. But in this episode we are going to be getting into some hot topics, but we're also going to be having on a friend of the show, Chef Stuart O'Keefe, who is a celebrity chef based over in LA, and he has a new book coming out, which is actually just now available over this side of the Atlantic. It's like a housewife kind of parody book. I have to say, I got mine in the post there the other day.
Must be nice to be on the PR list. No, you bought it, didn't you?
I bought it. I'm very supportive. And I think it's actually a genius book. The recipes are really fun. And if you watch Housewives, you'll love it. Like, it's a great gift. And
So we get into all the juicy topics with him, but I think let's get into a bit of a girly goss. Let's talk about it all day. First thing I want to get into you with is, you got me drunk at your show specifically. Now, when I say she got me drunk, I went to the bar every 5 minutes.
I'm like, now hang on a second. That's like, you know, a
blanket statement.
Bloodbath. Like,
well, anyway, so then she took advantage. We went up to the dressing room after the show. My friend Russell was here from New York, and Davina wheels out out her latest gadget that she's obsessed with, which is a microphone and speaker that she can take anywhere with her.
Drag it's a shows, mobile PA system. Drag, a mobile PA.
She's about to do a drag show on Grafton Street with this one. She's going busking. And yeah. She's like, next thing she goes live and she goes, come on, Victoria, we'll do some karaoke. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Thinking it was great. Like, and anyone who's ever heard me sing knows how bad I am. Next thing she shoves on, something I can't resist, which is a bit of Westlife Fly Without Wings. My mom's watching.
Oh, was she? She yes. was? Oh, God. And that was quite late. So, yeah, we have started to do dressing room karaoke post-show, and especially if there's some guests on that would normally be a talented vocalist, it's nice to just see people get fucked up. And, of course, the videos are always deleted. We never save them. Like, never. Nobody wants to lather, rinse, repeat that. So it's a one hit. You have to be standing around waiting. Although, that being said, like, I'm thinking probably it's like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, because like usually when the show would be finishing, that was what time it would be. But lately our show's been wrapping up at all kinds of earliness.
At the early time of 11 p.m. Oh, took me up.
Well, even earlier now, it's like sometimes the show wraps up like 10 o'clock now. Oh, it's
Christ. When my mom texts me the next day and goes, how's the head? Saw you and Davina singing the songs on our Instagram live. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, Jesus.
Like, literally, like, torture. But, you know, I do feel like that's a visual representation of what is going on in our mind for the last year. Uh-huh. Like, we're back to doing, obviously, everything is seated now, and it's table service, tables are six, and blah, blah, blah. Don't go out over Christmas because you'll die, according to Nefis. Like, that's the rules. Yeah. Just ridiculous. So, I, like, the last couple of weeks, I have to say, it's been a real a particular head fuck, because I was just thinking, we came back from having no shows to having this situation now. Yeah. And then we had people back where it was like packed, like nightclub, like normal life again. Yeah. And now we're back here again.
I know.
Like, I did my show there on Thursday. I swear to God, I could see every single face in the crowd. It was like doing an intimate gig. You know, one of those like MTV Unplugged, you know, when, like,
did you have your contacts in? Cause normally you're a blind bitch. Can't see.
Oh, no, I always wear contacts out lately. So I can see everybody. And I was like, if anyone has any questions, just feel free to ask. Cause this, like, you know, I can actually hear you. You don't even need a microphone. I can actually hear you. Yeah. So that was very strange. And yeah, I don't know how long this is going to go on for, but
dare I say, I am glad that we're still working and we're still able to work.
Me
so,
too.
So for now, I'm going to reserve too much money on it. And as we've learned from good practice, enough tequilas, you can see double the audience anyway. So,
that's true.
You know, it's great.
And also, I just like to say, if anybody, the George is still open. They are open for now with these restrictions in place. So I'm not taking table bookings. Yeah. So please, like, stop asking me, is the George open? Can you book a table?
Hold on, wait.
Don't put it through me.
Let's do a little reenactment here. I'm going to be one of the customers DMing you about information. Hi, Davina, love. I love your show. I'm just dying to see you. Is there any tables this Thursday? It's me boyfriend, and me five best friends.
Block.
Do you not block? Do you reply?
No, I do. I always just kind of have, everything goes through like their website or through, even don't just mail them. DM them. How about that? Like,
you know what I realized is, though, you can get an answer quicker off drag queen than you can a business.
Well, that's true.
Is why people do it. There's no patience in the world left anymore. Yeah. So,
no, it's just sometimes I just think, do people realize the questions that they're actually asking? Sometimes some of the questions, I don't know if it's a COVID thing. Are people just losing their minds?
Like, well, we are. So yes.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. Common sense seems to just go out the window, but the George has all the details on their Instagram. If anyone wants to book. And yeah, right now it is open. For how long? Who fucking knows?
Fully well. I'll give you a laugh. Today I had a gig in Virgin Media Television for their Christmas party. I was hosting it with Karen Koster. It is Koster or Costner. God, it's so bad. I spent the
it's
day.
It's Koster.
Koster. Knew that. Anyway, so arrive in and I went in a tracksuit with my face painted. And I was like, I had like grand visions of, you know, I'll be given a little dressing room down the hall. And I got there and girl, like between you and me, I snuck a little liter in my bag and a bit of 7 Up because it's a lunchtime gig. But I was like, do you know what? I'll enjoy this more if I have a little bevy. So I get there and they were lovely. They treated me amazing. But I was like, so they were like, oh, do you need to get ready? And I was like, yeah, no problem. Oh, yeah, there's a toilet just down the end of the hall there. You can use that if you like. And I was like, perfect. I was like, okay, great. And I was like, there's me thinking I'm signing up for, like, you know, the big grand dressing room. No, it just shows you it can be 18 years later and you're still the drag queen getting into your costume in the fucking toilet.
But also, it's TV Tree. Well, it's meant to be TV Tree.
Virgin Media, yeah.
It's Virgin Media. Like, it's not RTE. Like, they don't have massive space. Yeah. So I totally get it. But listen, you know, like, I remember last year doing those virtuals and having to, like, squeeze into a ladies' toilet where it's like it was open still to the public. So it's like, oh my God. So you're just like, it's like you do a panic dress. You're just going to get dressed real quick so nobody comes in.
Honestly, yes. Well, there was an accessible toilet. I legged it into that one. But two people tried to come in while I was there and there was no lock on the first door. And I was trying to, like, you know, put tights on and all that like that. Nobody needed to see that. Nobody.
There is. I'm really feared of accessible toilets now. Like, usually if, like, you run in and it's terrible, no, you shouldn't be using it. But I was caught one time in an accessible toilet by someone who really did need to use it.
Oh, yeah.
And I will never forget the guilt and shame that I felt for doing it. Like, I really do. Like, I felt so fucking bad to this day. And it was around Christmas time. So I will cram myself into a gents cubicle or like,
sure, I never thought of that, and that is awful.
The
people that were knocking on the door, just to be clear, were also not needing an accessible toilet either.
I know it's just something that to be mindful of.
Not to be in a shame in me on national radio.
Well, listen, if I'm getting shamed, you're getting shamed. So
what is it you say?
Shame, shame, I know your name.
Oh, that's it. She loves the jingle, that one. Loves the jingle.
I do.
Over the weekend, we got hot and sexy in the boxing ring in South Circular Road. So
very
we did.
Good.
The lovely Carl Broderick
actually,
and Alan
speaking
Hughes.
Speaking of dressing rooms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got ready in the toilets there.
Yeah, well, actually, I didn't. When I arrived, you were obviously getting ready for meet and greets and all that stuff with the girls. Uh-huh. And they were like, oh, yeah, we have a room out here for you in the outhouse. It's like a separate building.
Gym. It's the gym.
Oh, I know, because I walked in, I could smell the testosterone and sweaty arse. I was like, now I'm home.
Come on, fellas, I'm ready when you are.
And it was me, Regina, and actually Stephen Dowler was with us. And we were standing in this room. It was fucking Baltic. And there was like an electric heater on the wall that you had to push that had like a timer. And
oh my God.
I was like, it was freezing. I was like, whoo! I was like, I'll keep my jacket on in here. And then it kept going off. And I was like, Regina, did you not pay the bills? What's
going on? Oh, it was actually some crack. We were very lucky that Alan and Carl said we could use the space after them. But like, the stage was very fancy. But I have to say, I was cackling to myself the next day when I introduced Davina on stage and she said, I'm going to start in the audience. And I was pointing to the light man going, stick the spotlight over there. She's in the audience. And she just stands up and starts lip syncing from a chair in the audience. It was quite fancy to me. It was kind of like an Adele special or something.
I was sitting over there with Brian, who was doing the door, and I was sitting there with Stephen. And we were kind of sitting there, we were kind of like over to the side. All those seats were kind of free. So we were like sitting over there, but I felt like it was really like the bad gals club.
It was.
If that was school, we would have been like smoking over there or like sucking dick. You would have
been like. So everything you were doing, you're saying you did.
Yeah. We were like, hey, look at those bitches. and then you said, oh, you're on fifth. I was like, okay. And then we were like, you're after Paul. And then I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. Getting ready. Then it just comes and goes. I was like, right, but I'm not on now.
Yeah, so
then I was like, I'm going backstage now for another drink. So by that stage, we had like proper, you know, early night pre-drink stocks.
Yeah.
So I was getting, the more it was going, I was like, oh fuck. And then I started to go, because if I start to get a little bit drunk, like, I don't know what's going to happen. like when I just kind of like, I get very, very loose, let's just say. Like, not messy, loose. So it turned out it was actually perfectly, perfectly fine. But I have to say, what a great venue, great space.
Yeah.
And stage was amazing. And actually great crowd. It was great to see a new bit of drag.
Yeah.
I actually didn't realize how much I'm sick of you bitches. Like,
right. You know, well, firstly, you're dead right. Because I feel like everyone felt like rebel bitches in the audience. You know what I mean? Like that we were kind of getting won over on the government. Because to be honest, the event wasn't going to be able to happen because of restrictions. And then we got won over and found a way around it. But Juno,
you were so lucky and so genius. Juno was brilliant. And I'm familiar with Juno from online, but I didn't really know Silky. Yeah. I have to say Silky Nutmeg Ganache. I have to call her full name all
it's
the
hard
time.
To
I
don't. Say. Do you not think it's hard to say? There's no, so many M's and M's in it. Nutmeg Ganache. You have to really think about it.
I love it. Silky Nutmeg Ganache. I could call her that like all night. I was like, Silky Nutmeg Ganache, can we get a picture?
What did you make of the month anyway?
I really enjoyed it. Like it was just, I felt like I was kind of like having an out of body experience. I was actually just watching a really fun drive. I missed what things were before.
Yeah.
It felt kind of normal.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah, totally.
It was really fun. I really enjoyed it. And thanks to Alan and Carl. Like it was great that they let us do that.
Did you bring drink in your bag? Because I have to say, there was a few old ones behind the bar in there. And they were great crack, those old ones behind the bar. Did you get to chat to them? No,
but a shout out to somebody who actually, they did say they're a petty little thing listener. Yeah. And they bought you a tequila.
Yeah.
And they were going to bring it to you, I think maybe when you're on stage. And then I said, oh, I'll give it to her. She's backstage. And they were like, okay. And then they were like, I was like, I'll take it. And I was actually on my way to Alan Hughes's dressing room at the time just to say hi. And I just drank it. I was like,
oh, bless.
He's like, so I was like, so thanks for the shot. Do you know what?
Actually, shout out to your mate, Lisa, because I just ordered a little hamper to say thanks to Carl and Lisa. Sorry, not Carl and Lisa, Carl and Alan that I can drop over because seeing as they're only across the road, what's her company name again? Happy Grace. She's doing all these amazing Christmas hampers. I was like, right, I'll have one of them, Lisa. Okay, I'm still obsessed with Davina because yesterday you shared something real weird on your Instagram story and it's been playing on my mind all day. And it was about some moment, was she like eating her mother's ashes or something?
Yeah, so it was this lady, she was a pleasantly plump lady, and she had said she basically has a spoonful of her mother's ashes in her Christmas dinner like every year so she can feel closer to her. But she says sometimes when she's feeling like she really misses her, she has a spoonful, just like she's basically eating her mother's ashes, which I'm not sure how hygienic that would be. But someone did reply, it was actually Roxy Tumble Dryer from Belfast, said looks like she's had an awful lot of mother to eat.
Oh my God.
That gave me a good chuckle. And it did. She want to go easy on the dust, let's just say.
Oh my God. Well, that just reminds me of like, what was that Little Britain show? And your mum would say, for fat fighters, dust anybody.
Well, do you know what's so, like, you know, like, have you seen ashes?
No. Like, what?
So, like,
I presume ashes, they look like cigarette, but like ash.
Yeah, but most times there's like bits in the ashes, like the most, like, you know, little kind of like pebbles, like not pebbles, but like, you know, like it's not like completely smooth, like, you know, sandblasted, like sand, you know, really fine, jet mill fine sand. It can be kind of bitty,
like a bit of bone or something.
I don't think it's bones. It's like, it's just kind of like from the fire. Like, so it's just not totally smooth. So I don't like, maybe it'd be a bit crunchy if you were to eat it.
Jeez, that can't be healthy. Although when I was a kid, I did wrap up some like actual grass and in paper, like just normal, like from a copybook, and tried to smoke it. And then I tried to smoke tea.
What?
Yeah. Do you know what? Like, you're like trying to be like, you know, curious about things. Me and my friends, we smoked grass in one and then we tried to smoke tea, you know, the inside of a tea bag.
My God, that is depressing.
So maybe we'll all be eating ashes soon. Do you know what I mean?
Well, we'll literally be ashes soon if this fucking shit doesn't continue, if this continues.
Well, someone who's a bit worried about what her Christmas is going to be like is Katie Price. She's in the papers again today.
Having our weekly Katie updates.
any Katie update is a good update for me. Yeah. She's saying, because I think her court case is coming up, she's afraid
it's
she'll
tomorrow.
Be
it's actually Wednesday. We're recording this on Tuesday, by the way. So like Wednesday is the D-Day, the sentencing. Oh. I don't think she'll go down. I think because she's got kids, I don't think they'll send her down. I think she'll get a good legal situation behind her. But I think, like, I don't think it would do her it wouldn't be worse, like, if she did go down, would it? Because I think she's just, people like that just don't learn their lesson.
Yeah, but there's no porn star martinis in prison. Like, what is she going to do?
No, that's true.
Although,
if she did go down, that would be another autobiography that she'd get to write. So that would be like literally, like, and you know she'd milk that one to beat the band, like, so.
Yeah, and she could even re-release her single Free to Love Again and call it Not Free to Love Again.
Not free, full stop. I just love her perfume, her stunning perfume. Do you remember Katie Price? Stunning by Katie Price.
Yeah.
It was so tacky. And anytime you wore it, people would be like, oh my God, it was so sweet. Like, it would actually make your teeth rot when you just smell it. But it's you can't find it anywhere now. It's gone. She used to have so many fragrances, and I just for the laugh was looking online, and like they're all gone. She obviously had like some kind of licensing deal where some company would just produce them, and then yeah. I think as her star just kind of waned, they're gone. But I think she does, like, you know, she has her own brand where she does her makeup and stuff like that on. It's like her, it's all just fucking makeup from China that she just stuck her label on. So I think there's a fragrance in there as well, but it's just not the same as it was. Was it? The star isn't shining the way it used to.
No, it's such a shame. However, that makeup bottle that you're talking about, is that the one with the big, like, diamond on top?
Yes.
And the lid would never stay on. The lid would never. Just not stay on.
No. And it looked like it was really heavy, like ornate glass, and it was just like chunky plastic.
Oh my God. Like, well, it was no Britney, I'm sorry, but the day I was wearing, I think it was Fantasy, and Michelle Heaton from Liberty X was like, you smell gorgeous. What are you wearing? And I was like,
of course she loved it.
I know, honestly, that's what I was literally saying. I was like, oh, it's Britney, bitch. And the reason I wore Britney was to cover up that blue sequin leotard, because it's stank. Yeah. So the fact that she was saying, oh, you smell gorgeous, I was like, more fool you.
Yeah. Well, Christmas is specifically a time for all the smellies, isn't it? Everyone be out buying the smellies.
Yeah. Honestly, you're a lover of fragrance, but you love nasty fragrances even more.
No, I do not.
You do.
I like all kinds.
No, you like the expensive ones too, but you really enjoy a celebrity.
I wear Chanel. Like, I was like, that's not nasty.
Just because you're wearing Chanel the drag queen does not mean it's fancy. No,
it's definitely not Chanel the drag queen. I like all scents. I don't like the ones that have too much alcohol in them and they just like disappear. I always remember what somebody smells like. Yeah. If somebody smells nice, you always remember if they fucking stink, like it just embeds in my memory, or if someone has bad breath.
Oh, the breath is the worst. I actually was just talking about this the other day. I was like, what is the best thing to do if someone has smelly breath? Do you tell them? Do you not tell them? What do you think you should do?
I always would either like offer a mint, or, you know, I love these breath sprays. They're really handy. They're handy to carry around. Mm. And like, they're very like 1990s. You know?
It's very 1990s, but pennies are all over them. They love them.
Yeah. Well, the pennies ones are kind of shit. You need to get them in the pharmacy, like pay a little bit more, and they last a little bit better. They're just nicer for a little, like, I just like a fresh breath. It's nice to, especially if you're talking to people. I don't know. It rots me when people are not aware of that.
Yeah.
So I always just say, do you want some? And they always go, oh no, I'm fine. I'm like, no, I think you should take some.
Okay. Okay.
And then they take some.
I'm going to adopt that because like I've only told one person ever because it was really bad and like it was consistently bad.
Oh yes.
But then I said it and I was like, oh, I feel really bad. I feel like a bad person, but it's coming from a good place because I want them to, if they're aware of it, then, you know, it's down to them to like, you know.
Yeah, it's hard. But, and I think especially like around this time, people are kind of getting together, or I don't know, people smoke and stuff like that. People just sometimes aren't aware, but it's always good to just be a little bit aware, boys and girls. Mm.
Well, drag queens like spraying their fingers with perfume as well, because it wafts through the room. And especially, you know, lots of girls like using their fingers. A part of movement, and some of them really go for it. Like Jada Essence Hall was spraying the fuck out of her fingers.
I was like, I always do that as well.
Do you?
Yeah, I always do that. I've done that for years, and I always do my legs and everything.
No wonder all the fellas are mad about you if your fingers smell so delicious. Do you know what I mean?
But you know, I just think it's when you walk past, it's like you people just get that waft. Oh. So you always remember a smell, a nice, gorgeous, fragrant lady with caramel legs.
Oh, they say Davina smells divine. Someone won I'm a Celebrity. I didn't watch one episode of it.
It was Danny Miller. Who's Danny Miller? He plays the gay in Emmerdale. He's been in it for years. And I don't watch Emmerdale. I actually like Emmerdale, even like, oh, it drives me nuts. Mm. Emmerdale's one of them, like, just if I hear it on the TV, it's like Chase. It's like when I hear the opening bars, I'm like, ah, get it off.
You don't like the Chase?
I hate the chase with a passion. If I hear, and just like, oh my God, like I will scramble, fall, jump to get the remote control. I'm like, I'm pressing it like manically to get it off because I can't. I hate Bradley Walsh. I hate the chase. And I just hate that time of day. I hate like daytime game shows. I hate Tipping Point as well. Like,
you're a hateful bitch. That's a great show. And Tipping Point with my I'm going to say teenage crush. I don't know if it was teenage crush, but like teenage crush, Ben Shepherd. I used to be mad about Ben.
Yeah, well, he was a bit of a wetter in the day, but like then he became just real. He's a real, like the male equivalent of a yummy mummy, isn't he?
He's a bit dull, I'd say, right?
Yeah, he's real, like, you know, I say he like loves his kids and, you know, just real, like, you know.
If you could also see Davina's face as she said, he loves his kids.
Loves his kids and blah, 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 you know, like drives them to soccer practice. Boring. But yeah, so your man Danny Miller, he won I'm a Celebrity, which I didn't watch at all. I actually cannot. I'm so over. Yeah. I was thinking the other day, all these shows, like, do you remember years ago we used to like go out on a Saturday night and you'd rush home to see X Factor to see who got booted off?
Yeah.
Because it was just like, I'd be home at like 1:30, 2:00, which one I heard of these days.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
To watch to see who got booted off. And it was a real like event.
Yeah.
Like so exciting. And then there was like Strictly was on and I'm a Celeb and like, it just, there's no excitement in any of that shit now.
No. Is anyone even watching Walk the Line, this new show that they have out?
Well, you know, Walk the Line is basically kind of like a Tesco version of
The Big Deal.
The Big Deal.
Which Jedward are all over Twitter, like tweeting at Simon Cowell, saying that they never sent flowers for like their mom's passing or never checked in on them. And now they're ripping off this Big Deal show. Like Jedward are really going for it on Twitter at the moment.
Wow. Yeah, they are. They're real like... See you, Simon Cowell.
Very not like.
They're very call out energy, aren't they?
I can't understand if they actually are just trying to, you know, like, you know, we all get angry and say things or stay relevant. Yeah, I'm not sure which it is.
Like, maybe it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they have a very strong fan base, so
they do, I don't know. But like, if you keep being like that, you're going to get booked on TV again. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, people love it though, because it's like the kind of shock because they don't know what people are going to say.
Yeah.
So people do kind of love that. But we were talking about Danny Miller and I just was reminded that years ago at Thirsty Thursday, we booked him for a PA because he was like, he was this kind of hot young flit in Emmerdale, like back, this is, oh God, I'm going back like maybe like 10 years. And he was a real lad in Emmerdale and real kind of like chavvy. And then all of a sudden he was having like this closet experience with gays and it was kind of like an underlying storyline.
Okay, yeah.
And then he kind of came out and it was a big scandal. And then like the poster and all was, I remember it was like, Thirsty Thursday, it was like this chav, Danny Miller, like it kind of looked like he was going to do porn or like,
oh my God.
Shoves him up his ass or something.
I've just Googled him. Yeah, I know who it is now. Yeah.
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 And he came to the George and I was like, what's he going to do? And you know, actually, I'm going to fucking throw this back out. It was my friend Steve, who was manager of the George. He organized this booking and it was purely self-serving because he fancied Danny Miller. So I'm calling you out, Stevie Devine.
Well, the fun part, because you booked a few of those actors from like soaps to come over. What was the name? Christian came to?
Yeah, but I booked them when they were actually doing something. This was just a booking to do nothing. It was just because he'd recently come out as gay in Emmerdale and Stevie thought, oh, all the gays will love him because he's not actually gay.
Okay.
So he shows up to the George and he's with his manager, who was quite nice. And maybe the manager was a bit gay or very metrosexual at the either or.
Okay.
But I tell you this now, Danny Miller was not comfortable. He was not comfortable. He wasn't having a nice time. He was, in fact, borderline the opposite and down in the drinks to deal with the gays.
Christ.
Yeah. Now that being said, this was years ago and maybe it was at the start of the storyline and I'd say he was getting loads of mad gay attention that he was probably uncomfortable with. Maybe he's moved on a bit now and maybe he's a bit more relaxed with it all.
Well, he was happy enough to take the check though, wasn't he?
Of course he wasn't, but you know what? And this is how you always know. He was literally, as soon as it was done, out the door.
Yeah.
Like gone. Yeah. Like no interest.
Yeah, even tempted by your legs?
No, not tempted by my legs, not tempted by my feminine ways, my wiles, not at all. No, just not not really enjoyable to have around at all. Wouldn't be rushing back for a second booking, let's just say that.
Jesus, must be asexual then if he can't even be tempted by your long legs.
You must be gay.
I used to love that when you booked the soap stars to come and you weren't allowed to mention the soap opera they were in or their soap character. So you have to be like, star of stage and screen, it's Donny Miller. Do you know what I mean?
You couldn't say Emmerdale. It's so strange, isn't it?
Oh, so strange. But it, more calling out stuff, because obviously Jed Ritter are calling people out, but Brittany is on the warpath again. Like, obviously this is going to be for a while. This time, she set her sights on Diane Sawyer and the interview that Diane did with her. And everyone kind of remembers that. It's kind of like that Diana and Martin Bashir video. Mm-hmm. Brittany was crying on the telly. She said that her dad showed up to the apartment with like three men and basically told her that she had to do it. She was being accused of being like a shopaholic. She said she'd barely left the apartment in a year. She was devastated, obviously, over her breakup with Justin Timberlake. And then all this mad stuff were being saying to her. And she was being basically shamed and kind of almost slut shamed. Mm. And yeah, the message she's been putting up on Instagram is like seriously calling out Diane.
But we need a tell-all. We need an Oprah. We need a sit-down. We need a book. We need something. Because this, all this kind of like gibberish, like, you know, all these like big long spiels, it's like condense into one thing, say your piece, and then get on with your life. Yeah. Like, it's, I just don't think it's healthy to be constantly just kind of going back and getting quite aggressive. You need to just like say what you got to say and then move on with your life.
Fully. But I did like how she kind of said in her little statement, I would like to say now, ma'am, I'm a Catholic slut. And I'm like, she's poking fun at everything as well. Like, she's not dumb, but I...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I hope she does do a tell-all, because I don't want people to be twisting what she's saying. Imagine if you've been silenced for over a decade. You're going to say some stuff because you're just like, this all needs to get out of me ASAP.
Absolutely.
Okay, Davina, I know we have so many more hot topics still to talk about, but we do not have time to fit them all in the main episode. So if you'd like even more of our hot topics, they'll be part of our Patreon episode as well. Well, that's the end of our girly gossip. We're going to take a little moment to pause for our Patreon moment. And if you weren't aware, we have bonus episodes of our podcast called Extra Little Things out every 2 weeks. And they are available right now. You can go and check out this week's one, which will have even more from our interview. Plus, the extended version of our girly gossip this week. And I'm going to give a little shout out to a Patreon member this week. Let me see, who will we pick? We are going to pick Mia. Oh, I'm going to pick Mia. Mia comes to all the shows in the UK. She's an absolute doll. So nice. And Mia, you are a Patreon person of the week. Thanks very much for supporting us over there.
Very good. What we call you here is Maya.
Case of the X. But we'll be back in a minute. Davina, what's happening after we come back?
We're going to be talking to the gorgeous Irish-born Tipperary bred chef Stuart O'Keefe. He's going to be talking all things celebrity chefing in the US of A. So stay tuned.
Okay, guys, we're very lucky to have our next guest. He is an international celebrity chef, a TV personality, an author, an all-around Irish dish. Please welcome to the stage. To the stage. Yeah, we don't have a stage anymore. It's Stuart O'Keefe, Chef Stuart. Thank you so much for coming on Petty Little Things. We are so excited. Of course.
Finally, thank you for having me on. We've been chatting about this for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so thrilled to have you. And there's so much that we want to know. Because
100%. Can we start by saying neither of us really cook, okay? We're Uber Eats queens. I just have to put that out there. I made scrambled egg and toast yesterday and I was very proud of myself.
I mean, how do you even pay the rent if you're getting Uber Eats? It's just the most expensive thing out there.
It's true. Well, in fairness, I have to say, I'm going to be fully transparent here. I'm on a bit of a keto buzz for the last 5 weeks. So I actually have been cooking up a storm. Oh. So I've been cooking the same shit every day for 5 weeks now. But trying to make the same shit taste different every day is the real challenge. And just trying to move a breakfast thing to lunch thing, you feel so bougie. You're like...
If you could just do two things, you'd be grand.
I can do three, maybe.
At least you can switch it up. But three, yeah. I mean,
does a grapefruit count?
I always say, if you just do one recipe a week, maybe just on a sit down, just figure out okay, I'm going to make this one different thing this week. Uh-huh. And if you can just do one in a week and then you do one every week, then in a month you'll have four and then you'll have eight. And then, you know what I mean?
Baby steps. Well, Stuart, listen, you, of course, are a big, massive TV chef over in the States and here as well. You had your own TV3 moment as well. Tell us a little bit about how you got into cooking and tell us a bit about your background.
Well, I grew up I was born in Limerick.
So you basically were ready to cut up the vegetables straight away is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. It was so I was born there and then I obviously moved to Nina in Tipperary. So I grew up in Nina all my life, right? Uh-huh. And so Mammy would always be cooking and then my aunt would always be baking desserts. So, it's kind of like every Irish mother, put on the spuds, peel the potatoes or peel the carrots, all those kind of simple things. And so I would do that. And then, when you're in leaving cert and you're trying to figure out what you want to do. And I think I had culinary arts as my sixth choice in the CEO form. and it was going through the list, nope, got this. And then it was okay. And then I talked to mom and dad and they're we should go back and repeat a year. I'm absolutely no way.
Yeah.
And, you're just so ready to just leave sixth year, after you were done, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And,
oh yeah, girl. We're
It was just my brother's a teacher now in Leaving Cert. He'll send me the odd Leaving Cert paper. And I'm I actually have PTSD, from just looking at it. You know what I mean? And it kind of was
it was very natural to you.
This is the way it's meant to go. And I actually enjoyed it anyway, or else I was going to do art because I would always get A's in art. So I knew I was creative on the creative side. So I was look, I love the cooking. It's great. And then I went to Colbert Street in Dublin. And, that's where I met you years and years ago as well. And back in the day. And so I went to college for 4 years there, did a new degree program. And I had the best time in my life for the 4 years. I loved it. I loved living in Dublin. I had the crack. The cooking was brilliant and, worked in lots of different restaurants there and,
when you go to especially Calbrule Street is really famous kind of cookery school. And when you were in the course, was there people in the course who you just were they are just dreadful? Why are they even here?
There was probably 35 of us now in the year. Right. And there could have been three or four that were kind of shit and they kind of dropped out by year two or they just weren't bothered and stuff like that or whatever. But a lot of them though were fairly serious into it, Gordon Ramsay types. And I was how would you go away?
Serious.
And so it was just too, I was I'm kind of here for the crack and do a bit of bacon. Yeah. But and then I just always had this fascination with moving to America and going to Napa Valley. And then there was a job at a hotel there. And so I took the job at the hotel. I lived there for 2 years. And
how old were you when you went over to the States?
I was 24. I think the year when I turned 24 in September. Yeah. So I was 24 when I got there in 2006.
Yeah.
And, 2004. And, I worked, yeah, in Apple Valley for 2 years, and I moved down to Los Angeles because I just always wanted to live in LA and do the television thing. And and look, if it didn't work out, I just would have went back home and figured it out there, you know. And it worked out, and I got my visa, and I did all that kind of like crazy stuff years ago when I got my citizenship and my green card and all that. Because that's really the headache when you're kind of here, you know what I mean? Back then.
Well, even now it's supposed to be like virtually impossible, harder. Isn't it? I think we have a couple of friends working over there in different things, and it's like a nightmare trying to get in. So you got in at the right time.
I know. I just was lucky. I was just so, so lucky. And I mean, when I got my citizenship, like Trump was in office, I was like, I feel like it's going to be declined. He's probably not going to, why didn't I do this 2 years prior? Like in Egypt, I thought Hillary was going to win. She didn't. I was like, shite. And so, but it was fine. It all worked out. And then, yeah, like I, you know, I met my manager, Jason, like years ago. I worked at a restaurant here. He would always come in with friends. I knew one or two of those friends. And he was like, look, you should be doing television. You're a chef. And why are you working here at a restaurant and stuff? And I was like, no, I'd love to do it. I just don't know how kind of to get into it. So he kind of showed me the way and then, you know, put me up for a show on Food Network, Private Chefs of Beverly Hills. And I would start doing kind of dinner parties in people's homes here.
And is that, so the show, the what was it? The Private Chefs of Beverly
Private
Hills.
Private Chefs of Beverly Hills,
so
yeah.
I love the sound of this already. So it's, explain what the format of that show was.
So it was big. There was like six of us. Like there were six of us that worked for an agency, right? Okay. And
an agency, like in commas, is this like an
like it was kind of like he was from an agency. They had that him in the first two or three episodes, but then they were like, we actually don't really need the agency. Okay. They're just sent out on these jobs.
Yeah,
that's all we need to know. Okay. You know what I mean? So. So yeah, they would like obviously produce kind of the people, like what kind of party do you want? And then we would go do the meet and greet, and then we would do the actual party, and they would throw kind of spanners in the works and, you know, to fuck us up. And I mean, it was, look, for my first show, reality show, it was brilliant. It was the first show the Food Network ever did as a reality show, which was great. And we did two seasons of it. So that kind of kicked me off, you know, brilliant. And then that started the ball rolling with everything else. Yeah.
Stuart, I always feel sorry for some of the chefs that are brought on as part of like the housewife shows. It's like they don't want to be on TV, but they've been asked by producers. Like, I don't know which franchise I was watching in the last week, but the chef was brought forward going, we're having like, say, a bread and butter pie.
It was Potomac. And do you remember they brought the chefs in when they were having the dinner?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one. I don't watch Potomac now. Oh, like, there's just too many of them. I don't.
Stuart, hold on, Davina, how do I end this call now?
I'm going to be like, I just, when the interviews start with the new book, like, I'm going to be slaughtered. Like, I don't watch a few of them. You know what I mean? Well, they're going to kill me. But we have Amy for that. Amy will cover me with all those questions. So,
like, about what you're saying about the chefs.
Just, they always seem so unnatural. It's like, literally, they've been shoved by a producer in front of the camera to go, well, this is the bread and butter pudding. Actually, who am I kidding? Everything that the housewives eat has zero carbs in it. It's a salad of some sort. It's a piece of fish.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And they have to try and make it sound really fancy with some black pepper on top.
I know, for sure. No, it is every single time. It's just like, it's just almost like the same format with all of them, with the way the chef is introduced. And I was going to, they asked me, I know one or two of the producers that do the Beverly Hills and the OC and stuff. So they'll always kind of keep me in their back pocket. If they ever have like a catering event or something like that, they'll be like, oh, it brings Stuart down for this to be a bit of crack, you know? Or so I was going to go on Beverly Hills this season.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Tell like last November, they asked me that I was going to show Lisa Rinna and Erica Jane like a cooking lesson.
Oh, cool. Oh, okay.
At Erica's new house or something, because you know she was living on her own now. So
okay, all grown.
They
up.
Wanted,
and she has to learn how to cook now because she
before everything kind of blew up. It was kind of like she got divorced, and then it was like it all blew up, and then like I know two or three people on the set got COVID, so the whole thing was canceled. I was raging.
Yeah,
because it would have been a bit of it would have been good fun like those two, you know,
absolutely. Yeah.
But you know, that'll come around again, and you know, I'm not.
And
they're shooting all the time.
Like living out in Beverly Hills and like out in Hollywood, because you're in West Hollywood, so like living in that vicinity, and like the people that you must come across or the jobs that you get must be kind of, some of them must be quite bougie.
They are. I mean, like, you know, I don't do as much kind of like cooking in the houses kind of anymore. Like I'll have the odd person that will ask me that I've worked for in the past, and they're, you know, if they're totally sound, I'll absolutely do it. Like they're lovely people. They just want to party and stuff. But Some of them can be now, like, I mean, some of the houses are amazing.
Oh my God. And I'd say the kitchens are like incredible.
You know what I mean? It's just like,
I want to see the toilets. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I have seen some of the coolest houses like over the years and stuff like that. I met some cool celebrities and things like that. And they're just really, really nice people. But, no, like nightmares though. You know what I mean?
No kitchen nightmares. Like, oh, now everyone's been sound kind of.
Like, I had one woman like, that was just giving me shtick on the phone. Like, she just was a weapon. Like,
and is this a celebrity lady?
No, it wasn't. It was just some wealthy woman or whatever that. And I had all the food here, and I was like ready to go. And I was like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. I'm not coming. And I literally was like, called a friend. Like, I had spent like $400 or $500 on food. Called, like, she was just like. It was so bad where like you just had a pain in your stomach, like the butterflies, like just like the nerves, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? This is just not worth it. Like, no, it's way. Just not worth it. And obviously if I was in probably a better place financially and stuff like that at the time where I wasn't like, I need every penny, you know? I wasn't to just like, let it go.
Yeah.
Which I called my friends. They all came over. We had a big dinner party. It was great.
I love it. Waste not, want not.
You know? Yeah, no, it was funny. It was good.
But, you also get to see whose kitchen is kind of not so tidy. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'd quite enjoy a little nose around to see. Look at this dirty cow over here. What's she doing in her kitchen?
Yeah.
Although they probably all have housekeepers, so.
Yeah, I would imagine.
A lot of them do, but I think like you can find it on YouTube, Private Chefs of Beverly Hills, like the first episode I did, the kitchen was a fucking nightmare.
Oh.
Like it was a first reality show I ever did, and it was the first episode I ever did, so I was like panicking
because
I didn't know. I was like, oh god, they're gonna make me look like shite and I'm gonna be a terrible chef on television and all that stuff. And but it worked out really good in the end. You kind of felt sorry for me because it was such a state the kitchen was, but it was the pilot episode, so they just wanted to see did the show actually work, you know.
And you were saying about like sometimes they throw spanners in the works, like what kind of stuff would they do? Because I've seen like, I think it's like Kitchen Rules Australia is like airing here at the moment, and they do things like they'd switch people's meat, like in the like they do shit like that.
I'd be like, I put the sirloin steaks in the fridge. Well, they're not there now, you have crab. I'm like, that doesn't, I'm like, that, like, you know what I mean? Or it's like,
we're having crunchy nuts.
we're taking this from the fridge and you're going to say that you forgot it. I'm like, okay, so what would you do in that situation? I'm like, well, I'd actually go down to the fucking shops, like buy a new one. Like, they're like, but that's not an option. I'm like, so then you just have to figure it out and you know, but it's stressful, but it makes for a great show on television watching it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how did you kind of transition from doing the reality show into like, cause you've done like all the big chat shows. Like you've been the, you've done like Wendy. Haven't you done Wendy Williams?
Wendy Williams. I was meant to do on, I could know. Cause I sent out like Instagram stuff for Wendy with me in a photograph and stuff at the time. You're right. And I was going to fly to New York to book it. And they shut everything down for COVID.
Oh,
it was literally the day. It was March 2020.
Yes,
like, around St. Patrick's Day. Because I was going for St. Patrick's Day to do Irish food or something stupid like that. And then I remember like, there were people I worked for at the time. They're like, you can't go to New York, like it's COVID. I'm like, I'm fucking going. It's Wendy Williams. It was like COVID or no COVID. You know what I mean?
I was so dying to ask because I love a bit of, we love a bit of, how you doing? So we're dying to know. And you see, you've done like Wendy, you've done Ellen. I know you've done Ellen, haven't you?
I haven't done Ellen. Ellen's very hard because you have to do vegan recipes with Ellen, which is fine. I can do vegan. But I'm going to really try hard now. She's doing her final season, so I'm really going to try and get on there now with the book, with the new book, maybe with Amy, and we can do a vegan recipe from the book, I'm sure, because it's the last season. And I actually know Liz Patrick, that's actually the exec producer on it, but it's like you ask her, but you don't want to keep bugging someone about it. Do you know what I mean? Either because it's not really her show, it's more Ellen's, and it's touch and go. But I saw her from Melissa King was on it there the other day. She won Top Chef now, but she was on there and it was like seemed fine, so it doesn't, I'd say it won't be too hard to get on. But
tell us a little bit, you were just saying about your new book that you have coming out, which we are personally very, very excited about. So this is I don't really know what was the best way to explain this. So like, if you're a big Housewife fan, book is going to be a great either a gift or like a must have. What, tell us a little bit about
It's like, if you like Housewives, even if you, whether you watch all seven or eight of the franchises, like if you watch two of them, Like, the book is such a fun book. Like, so we basically create recipes from situations that's happened over the years in the franchises, right? Whether it be Dallas or be, you know, prostitution whore puttanesca pasta. Like, that's one, right? Like,
Tell me this, like, is eggs a la francais in the book?
Yes. And then there's a photograph of me. There's a photograph of me and Amy dressed up as Luann with the eggs in La Francaise. So like,
you did this book with Amy Phillips.
Because she had an extra, we were doing the photo shoot and she had an extra wig. And I was like, oh, but this would be funny with the black glasses and the robe and, like, you know, just throw the wig on and just for the crack, you know. And, like, it actually ended up, like, being a photograph of the book. So that's pretty funny. We replicate a few of the situations. With Margaret throwing the husband in the pool.
Yes, your husband's in the pool. Your husband,
yeah, so, like, the recipe for that is, like, your husband's in the polenta.
I love it.
So it's like polenta and stuff. A shrimp and grits rich bitch is another one. Like, it's all that funny, like, banana Xanax smoothie for so Lisa Rinna.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, it's really, like, just campy stuff, funny, like, poking fun. That, Yolanda, Bananas Foster, you know, like stuff like that. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of late nights drinking margaritas, trying to figure out what the recipe titles were going to be and how to make all that fit.
Yeah. And there's a ton of cocktails in it as well. Like, we literally, me and Amy were doing the book and we're like,
that's what our next question was, that we were literally like, is there cocktails?
Yeah. There's a ton of cocktails and they're all like 3 or 4 ingredient cocktails. Like, they're super, super easy. And there's some cool colors and lavender ones and, yeah, because even if you don't want to do, like, the food or anything like that, you can still do a bunch of the cocktails, you know,
liquid
and do those little bites. But the hope is that, like, the way I kind of envisioned the idea, I was just sitting on the couch one day, I was like, why hasn't anyone done a book on this? Like, it's so stupid. And so it'll make those super fans want to cook because of what the recipe title is called. You know what I mean?
It's making me want to cook and I'm like, crap. I'm just like, I want to have eggs.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But you want to have, like, the girlfriends or all the guys and the girls, whoever you are watching it, like, to kind of do little potlucks, like, okay, why don't you cook that? Why don't you cook that? Then we'll have a little kind of like a premiere viewing party. That's coming over, like, with the book. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just people to have fun with it. There's nothing out there.
I love it.
With it. So
it's quite, probably quite interactive. And tell us, so it's called Cook It, Spill It, Throw It.
Cook It, Spill It, Throw It.
Yeah.
The Not So Real Housewives parody cookbook.
It's quite a mouthful, Stuart.
I just wanted to call it, like, Cook It, Spill It, Throw It.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think that's a brilliant title. Like, Amy came up with that title.
You have to put and the housewives.
And then I guess for, like, you want to have real housewives in there, like, in the book cover. I have it here. I know you can't see it on the radio, but if you see, it's huge. But, like,
and it's really camp.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like super, super camp. But
the stamp of approval as well from Andy, which, by the way, I presume wasn't that easy. No, like, I'm sure lots of people Andy, write a foreword for this. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I know Andy for years, which helps, but also Amy Phillips works for Andy.
Yeah.
Because Amy has her own show on Sirius XM here from Monday to Friday called Reality Checked. Mm-hmm. So she does her show kind of through the voices of the housewives. Yeah. And when she recaps the shows,
she's iconic. And, she's so, so good.
Yeah. She's just so funny. Like, she's just brilliant. Like, the Kathy Hilton one was just so fucking
really
funny.
Really good.
The one that she did the other day. It's really, really good. And,
who do you think is our best? Who do you think is our best housewife that she does? Who's your favorite impression that she does?
I mean, when I met her, like, it was always Bethany was her best.
Yeah. She does a good Bethany. She, like, does a good Ramona as well.
What's going on? Yeah. Ramona's good. Her Dorinda is amazing. Dorinda. Like, it's almost like a dub accent. Like,
oh, actually, wait. Speaking of a dub accent, I mean, is there a sneaky recipe in there from the Housewives of Dublin, the Dublin Housewives? Did you ever even get to see that show? I'm obviously joking.
I never.
It was not a big hit.
wasn't that Virginia McCurry was on it? Wasn't
yes.
it?
Yeah.
There was. There was.
I know Sonia. I know Sonia that lives here, the sister. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's still on YouTube.
Never saw it.
No. Because they
was it good or was it?
It was. It was iconic.
In
it
an
was,
Irish way. In it, an Irish way.
Like you'd never forget it. Like they people we still quote it. Like uh-huh. and it's 10 years on. So that. That'll just kind of...
Yeah.
But it's mad they never did it like a few seasons of it. Did they?
They did one. And see, they were kind of pegging it as the Real Housewives of Dublin. But then I think there was a few legal things. So it became just it. Dublin Wives. Yeah. And then, you know, yeah. I think especially in Dublin, you know, people don't really like kind of people showing off or people thinking that they're above their uh-huh. station. So it's not really... Although people loved it at the same time for the wrong reasons.
I mean, the gays know? Loved it. Yes. The gays loved it for specific reasons. Yeah. And it will go down in history.
It will.
But it was very forced. Like the gals are going to head together and be in Lily's for the evening. Do you know what I mean? And like, whoa, Lily's is so fab. No, not that. But yeah.
See, the thing with it is like, you have to have stuff to do.
Yeah.
Like all the time. You know what I mean? Even New York is terrible this season because the COVID thing. There's so like, it just goes to show how little you had to do.
Yeah.
They're going up to Salem and upstate New York. Jesus. Like, what would you be going up there for?
It also helps if people are minted. Do you know what I mean? People like seeing, people like seeing the wealth and the fabulous lifestyles. And like, if you're living in a penthouse apartment at the IFSC, it's not so glamorous, you know?
Stuart,
thanks guys.
So guys, we're going to just take that off the boil and leave that for a moment. Mm-hmm. We're going to leave, if you want to check the rest of our interview with Chef Stuart O'Keefe out, you can check that over on our Patreon. Lots of extra content and fun stuff over there. So we're going to get on with our favorite time of the week.
Okay, rotter time, Davina. It's that time of year where everyone's a bit of a rotter, to be honest, because it's Christmas, the streets are bedlam, and everyone's fighting to get the last Tamagotchi to buy for their little brat at home. What is your first rotter of the week?
Well, I have to say, because it is the festive season, I know all these companies are trying to make a quick buck and everybody is scrambling to make ends meet and everyone's like, buy local, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know if you've noticed this, like, you know, if you buy from certain companies, like I'm just going to say like certain cosmetic companies in particular, they literally spam your email with offers every day. You literally like go into your email and you'll have like, you know, buy a bundle here, like, but it's like every day. And it's like, I remember reading this marketing thing before, and they were saying that if you're an online company or if you're like an, you know, an online retailer, that you should only be messaging someone, I think it's like maximum twice a week, like no more than that. And these companies now are literally sending like 7 mails a week, like every day, and kind of cut prices, but it's just like fucking nonstop. It's like spamming you. And it just like, that has me rotted, because it's like, I just literally unsubscribe from the newsletters and it makes me not want to buy from them again, because it's just fucking constant like crap information.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, fully. Well, I mean, we're off the back of like Black Friday and Thanksgiving and all those where it gets crazy. To be honest, that's the time of year that I love hitting the unsubscribe button the most. Yeah. I get real pleasure.
Do you know, one company in particular, like a makeup brand, I won't say which one, but literally just, and I have to buy that much from them, keep literally just like every day, it's like, you know, a new product or new something that they're trying to push. And then because I like, you know, bought it like through their website, they have my phone number. So now they start texting me.
Oh.
So it's text and fucking email. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry.
Any dirty it's pictures on that now?
No, not quite. Not yet. So yeah, so that has me rotted. Oh, what's, you having a Christmas delivery, are you?
No, the clampers are outside. Somebody's getting clamped outside my apartment.
The Chinese is being delivered. Oh, the lorry load.
Hold on. Rotso, leave that car alone.
Well, what's your first rotter?
My first one is just Ryanair. So I don't want to sound like a stuck up bitch. I like traveling Aer Lingus. I do. They're great to drag queens. I can bring bags that are overweight and they will not try and charge me 500 extra euros to bring them on. But in this case, I was flying back from Ryanair at the weekend, And I have a seat that I like. I am such an L1. I'm just
yeah, saying. Right, I'm just singing that to myself. I was like, what a hag.
I have a seat that I like. I like 3F, okay? The reason I like 3F is because 2F is still classed as emergency exit seat, and they'll take your bags off you because they need them up there for landing. And I hate when they want to take things off you.
Yeah, I hate that too.
Right? So I like being up the front in 3F. Now, when I say the plane was about 60% empty, I mean 60% empty. However, I'm sat beside Sandra and Sean from, let's say, Tipperary, and I'm squeezed into the aisle beside them, and I'm like, why am I stuck beside these cunts when the whole plane is fucking empty? The whole plane is empty, but Ryanair, what they love doing is allocating people into seats, right? If you don't want to pay for your seat, they're going to sit you wherever they want to sit you. And I was like, this makes no sense. I'm wrecked. I'd like a little nap. Can Sean and Sandra please bog off down the other end of the plane? But instead, we're squeezed together like we're in a triple. So Ryanair are top of my list at the moment. I'm like, why is that about? You know how it is? They say, oh, are you sure you don't want to select your seat? Because you might end up in, like, you know, a middle seat. They literally say that. I did select my seat and I still got stuck beside them.
Oh my God. Well, there's nothing worse than that. Have you seen the viral clips that's going around from the drunk passengers on Riga to Dublin? Have you seen that video?
No.
There's this drunk man and he's like, literally, like, he's his top off, he's down the back of the plane and he's punching the toilet door, and he's like you that time you did my show. He's like that drunk. He's like, and like there's like a little gay guy who's like the air steward or attendant or flight attendant or whatever, and he's like, phones down, no filming, literally, like, and whoever's filming it gets the whole thing on film, and he's like, you, phone down, literally, with the finger comes out the end. You, oh, like, my he's God. An icon of the skies, I have to say. But absolutely, like, what a kind of terrifying experience to be. And I forgot, like, how mental people are when they get into an airplane. I don't know if they have to be drunk to get on it or whatever, but it drives me fucking nuts. Oh,
well, have you ever been on the plane to Ibiza? Because it's like taking your life in your hands sometimes.
Well, I don't think Aer Lingus fly there anymore because of the madness that was going on.
There you go.
So, yeah, that kind of says it all. The other thing that I want to, the other thing that rots me is, and I please, over the festive season, I know you're going to be having people over to your house. If you're having parties or having people in, please, please, please have iPhone chargers in your house.
Oh, like, my God.
Like it's so essential. Can I just say,
nothing has made you sound more like a sesh queen than that statement just there. Nothing.
Please have iPhone chargers in your house always. Like, I don't understand. Like, I have all kinds of chargers in my house for all phones. Like, if you have a, you know, a Samsung, if you have a Huawei, like, I have a charger.
That's because people keep leaving them behind when you have the sesh.
No, I have. No, I have all the chargers. I have like USCs, I have USBs. I have just like, I don't understand how you just can't have an iPhone charger in your house. So please. So what I've started to do is, this is a sneaky thing that I do.
Yeah.
Like my regular friends that I see a lot, when I go over to their house, when I'm like not out drinking with them, I'll just leave chargers in their house. I'll hide them in their house. Like, I'll hide them in little drawers. I'll put them places so that I know that if I end up there, it'll be okay.
Oh my God.
So, like, just, you know, think of your guests this Christmas, have all the chargers, because you don't want someone going, literally, it's like a countdown when your battery is just waning and you're like, okay, well, this is goes, you're fucked. So yeah, just be aware.
Davina's bunker. We'll just call it that. Yeah, she's ready for all possibilities. Okay. Yeah. My next one is Deliveroo. I am a Deliveroo Plus customer. Because I do order a couple of takeaways from now and then. But when you think about it, so you're paying your Deliveroo Plus. Now they're hitting you with a service fee, which is like, what, 70 cents?
That's very cheeky.
I don't fucking know, but it is cheeky. So now there's this fee on top of that. And if you already, like, for instance, I live in an area that there's a Camille. If I look at the prices of the food on Camille's website and the prices on Deliveroo's website,
it's much dearer.
They're already adding on money to the cost of the dishes. That's another thing. You know, I hope you're all tipping your riders, because from what we're hearing, they don't treat the staff very well. And actually, they're not staff because they're contractors, so that they don't have to pay them in a certain way. So, of course, I'm going to tip my rider on top of that. Then on top of that, now they have an option to support your local restaurant. Would you like to support your local restaurant? Well, firstly, I'm supporting them by ordering food from them.
Yeah.
And secondly,
I'd like to know the ins and outs of a Deliveroo driver. I'd love to. I think that'd be very interesting. I'd love to know exactly. exactly how it works. I watched a YouTube video about a guy who took over a Deliveroo's driver for the week, and you kind of pick up, kind of work when you want, kind of, and do what you want. But I'd love to know exactly how it works, how much money they make, just to know. Because like I order from them a bit as well, but I'd hate to think that they're being taken advantage of, especially when there's a lot of extra hidden fees. Yes. Like, who's getting that? I'd like to know.
Fully, I mean, I hope they're not being like getting a fee off the tips that we give them, because I tip with card. I don't really have cash very often.
Yeah, I hope
anymore.
They get the tip. Like, yeah, I hope they get the full tip. I have started a lot in the last while to give cash, just to actually give them
maybe
cash.
Maybe I should as well. Maybe
because
I should. But then I'm worried they're going to get fucking robbed on the streets.
I know.
But cash is king.
Yeah, cash is king. And in general, I have been trying to tip in cash more. But like, yeah. So
we should all be trying to keep in cash, by the way. We should all be trying to use more cash. Mm-hmm. Keep cash in circulation.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's better for society. It's better for like for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I actually tried to tip by card the other day in a restaurant in the UK, and they said, honestly, you don't need to, because like by the time we actually see any of it, we've seen none of it. And I was like, oh shit, that's awful. Whatever situation. So Deliveroo are kind of on my rotters list, because I feel like we're just getting like we're paying left, right, and center for something. However, like I'm a gal on the go and a hungry bitch at that too. So I will continue to use them. If you do have a friend who's a Deliveroo driver and would like to speak to us anonymously about all that, we are nosy bitches. We'd love to chat to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that brings us to the end. I want to remind you, obviously, that was our Rotter of the Week. It is Rotter of the Year episode to round off the year next year. Slide into our DMs only on at Petty Little Things Pod on the Instagram. If not, it will end up lost in our own DMs, and we've 2 weeks until we record this.
And we hope you all have a very fabulous Christmas. I hope you all get to see each other, go to each other's houses, visit, have the Christmas that you deserve. Don't be scared or fear mongers up. Enjoy yourself.
Get the Christmas ride with someone you've never met before, who's only home. Visit him, because that's what Christmas truly is. Sleep with someone you're never going to see again, because they're gone again.
Stay safe, but more importantly, have a good time. And we'll talk to you after Christmas. So
Merry
have a good
Christmas.
One.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all. And to all a good night.
The Christmas cackle.
Oh, God. Remember, stay petty, guys.
Yeah,
bye.
Stay petty. Well, stay Christmas petty.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.